Church family. Hey. I just want to take a moment to welcome everybody to Little Switch Horror this morning and go over a few announcements. Am I on?
No.
Can they hear me?
Nope.
No. Can you hear me? No. Good morning. Everybody's there we go. Good morning. Welcome to Little Switch Horror this morning. I want to go over a few announcements coming up this week. Next Sunday is the Golden Age Banquet. If you are over 60 and haven't signed up, sign up in the Narthex and go to the Golden Age Banquet. There is entertainment and it is a free event for anyone over 60. Oh, that's in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. Next week is the Breakfast Buffet. On Saturday the 20th from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. So come support the Women's Fellowship. And next Sunday is the Soup, Salad, and Potato Bar that the Dominican Republic Missions Trip is holding. So come support the Dominican team as that's next Sunday the 21st right after church, correct? Okay. Are there any other announcements that I missed? Harvest Home, is that next weekend? Next Sunday also, okay. So next Sunday is also Harvest Home to bring in your non-perishable food items and you can donate them and they'll go to the food pantry. Is that where the donations are going? Yes, okay. Any other announcements? All right. Not seeing any, I would welcome you to rise and join us in our beginning of worship. It will be hymn number 389.
Thank you.
be seated. God is good.
Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
What is happening around us, God is still good.
And as we traverse through life, as we face different challenges, and we keep that mentality that God is good, getting through those stressful times, those times of illness, is going to be a lot easier. So keep that at the top of your heads as you go through your week, that God is good no matter what's happening around us. You have your bulletins in front of you. You'll notice many prayer concerns listed there. And I'd invite anyone, we have a microphone coming around, to share any additional prayer concerns that you may have.
My nephew Jonathan in Idaho, he's coming along, but they had to take his other foot off. He has both feet off now, and we're quite concerned, but he's beginning to feel touch and respond a little bit, and they're taking some of the pain medication off a little bit, but he had a fever of 103 the other day. So let's keep praying for Jonathan Weaver that he can get back to his ministry. Thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayer for my dad. He's in a nursing home. He's, well, as my sister said last night, fading fast. He's 90 years old and not responding to food, just sleeping. And he's had Alzheimer's for 10 years, and he's been in a nursing home for 4. I'll be home this Wednesday for my godmother's funeral and see my dad, hopefully. But just keep him in prayer, George Martin.
George, okay, thank you.
I'd like to mention prayers for Gloria Stitzel, who usually comes to church here, and she's been sick.
Would you pray with me? Father, every breathing moment, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you most of all, Lord, for your presence with your people. We know, Father, as your son Jesus walked upon this earth, we were given an example, and we can read your word and we can see that example which Jesus gave us to be able to carry out our lives. But Father, we confess there are times your word isn't something we read. Your word is something that goes in one ear and out the other. But Father, today we're making a declaration that that shall change, and that we'll read your word, that we'll conceive your word, and we'll live your word. And we pray it so in the name of your son. There are many stricken with illness among us, many dealing with recoveries, some that are even facing death. And we just lift up those this morning. We think of David's dad and ask, Lord, that your hand of blessing would be upon him as he transitions from this life to the next. And we thank you for his life that has been well lived. And just pray your peace over David and over his entire family, Lord, as they witness this before them. We just pray that there is a calm that is unlike any other, because we know of our salvation. And we rejoice with those that are able to enter into their kingdom eternal. We think, Lord, of Gloria this morning and pray your blessing upon her. Lord, you know what is going on in her life, and we just pray that it would come to pass, that this too shall pass, and we will give you glory and honor in all things. And we just thank you for the progression that Jonathan is making, that feeling that he's starting to get back in his body, Lord. We pray that it would continue to be so. We pray that that healing touch would be upon him and complete restoration of his body would be made through your healing power. Father, you know the harvest in our world. You know that the workers are few. But we pray, Father, amongst us as Little Swatara, Church of the Brethren, we might go out into that harvest and we might sow seed, that we might make your word known, that we might willing to speak to that who no one else may speak to, that we might be willing to share our stories and be able to connect and make relationship, that they too might know you as their Lord and Savior. But Father, we know in the process of that, we know in living this life that we make mistakes. Let's just call it what it is, sin, Lord. And so we come before you. We know that forgiveness is at hand, but Father, we must ask to receive that forgiveness. And I pray that we're doing that day in and day out. And so right now in this very moment, we come before you and we ask for your forgiveness. We repent, but we don't just repent. We turn from those sins. Lord, you know how easily they entangle us. And we pray, Lord, that you and only you would set us free, because we know that it's your power to do that, to break the chains. So, Father, hear our prayers of confession this morning and also those prayers upon our hearts. Father, words can't begin to describe how overwhelmed we are by your forgiveness. That you would send your one and only Son to die on the cross, that we might be set free, that our sins would be forgiven, that we can enter into a relationship with you. We thank you this morning. We take time this week to say thank you and to be filled with gratitude. For Lord, we know that that was not some easy task for you to say, yes, take my only Son. But you were willing, and you have made that difference in our lives, and may we live as though we are grateful. Lord, we lift up by name those on our prayer concerns. We lift up Ruth Conover. We lift up Ruth Hoover. We lift up Derek Kaufman. We lift up Carl Gravy. We lift up Emmanuel Ziegler and Marie Ziegler. And Father, we pray your continued peace upon their lives. We pray your continued healing touch. Lord, you know the recovery that many of them are going through. And we just pray for renewed strength, that they would mount up as wings on eagles, Lord, that they would be able to soar in life and they would feel this new strength within them. And we give you all credit for what you are doing in their lives. We just thank you again, Father, for meeting us here in this place. We think of our sister congregations and lift up Nuevo and Mene Sister this morning in Bethlehem and pray that you would bless them, bless their leadership, bless their people that are gathered there. And just let us seek your will, Lord, and may we do your will in our lives. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Before offering this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Luke, chapter 17, starting in verse 11. This is the story of the 10 healed of leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." God, let our offerings this morning be a small symbol of our thankfulness for all the blessings you have given to us. Amen.
To invite the children to come forward for this morning's children's moment. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. So good to see you guys today. How's your day going so far? Do you guys have lamps at home? Do you know what a lamp is? Do you have a lamp? If I plug the lamp into the wall and it doesn't turn on, what did I do wrong? I didn't turn on the light. So you have to plug it in, but you still have to turn the switch on. You still have to turn it on for the light to do what? To light up the room, right? To turn on the light and light up the room. Now, if you had a lamp, now most lamps have a shade on them. You know what a shade is? But what if you took your lamp and it has a shade on it and we put it underneath the pew? Would it still light the room?
No.
No, it wouldn't. What if we took the lamp and we had the shade on it and we put a blanket over top of it? Would it still light up the room?
No.
No, it wouldn't. It would shine through the blanket, but it wouldn't be quite as bright as what we're looking for. Do you know that Jesus talked about light a lot? Do you know what he told us? Like you and I, you know what he told us? That we're to be the light of the world. Now, whoa, wait a minute. How are we supposed to be the light of the world? What do you think? How can we be the light of the world? How might we shine light? What do you think? By being kind, yes. If you're kind to someone and you say like, wow, I really like your sweater today, that's being kind. And you know what that does? It brings a smile to their face and you just shined light. How else might you shine light? By showing them your shirt that is possum work. It says Top Pups on it. That brings smiles. So you can be light by just encouraging and uplifting. How else might you shine light into the world? Go ahead. Showing people, yeah, like yeah, showing people your fingernails and how they have their fingernails are painted, and that brings a smile to people's face. How else might you shine light? By caring. How might you show? Let's just pick someone out here. What about Diane? How might you show Diane that you care? What might you do for Diane to show her that you care? Help them pick up books if they fall. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, so Diane, next time you drop books, Naomi's right at your feet ready to pick them up. What do you think, Reed? How else might you shine light?
Kind and nice.
Kind and nice. Those are two very important words. So as kids, sometimes, you know, there's this thing called bullying. You know what bullying is when other people pick on you? What if you saw someone getting bullied? What might you do? You could stand up for that person being bullied, right? And you could tell the bully, hey, you need to stop. And so that's helping, that's serving someone. What else? What else could you do?
Like if somebody's mean, like when I was being bullied.
Yeah.
When I was being bullied in second grade, I said, Kyle, knock it off. Go away.
Right. Sometimes we have to stand up for ourselves and tell people to knock it off. And that's still shining light because it's not nice for people to be mean to other people. What do you think, Reed? There's light shining up there. Those are pretty bright. You think we should shine that bright? I think so too. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that we can shine lights. We can be encouraging. We can help serve one another. And we have so many ways to help those that are in distress, Lord. And we just pray that that light would just shine through these children and it would shine through us. And we just thank you, Lord, for the light that we have that you have given us through your word to illuminate through life. And we just pray it be so in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks so much.
To my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Our scripture this morning is from Mark 4, verses 21 through 25. And Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured out to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him."
So there's this story about three friends who decided to go deer hunting together. There was a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher. As they're walking along, comes this huge, massive buck. And ironically, the three friends all shoot at the same time. Immediately, the buck drops to the ground, and all three rush up to see how big it actually is. But upon reaching it, they could hardly figure out whose shot actually killed the deer. So this heated debate begins, and by chance, a game warden hears the commotion. And he asks the three men, "What in the world is the problem?" "Well," said the doctor, "they were debating about who actually shot this buck." So the warden steps up to the deer, he takes one look at it, and within seconds he said, "The preacher shot the buck." And they look at each other in bewilderment. "How did he know that so quickly?" And the warden said, "Oh, that was easy. The bullet went in one ear and out the other." The struggle is real, my friends. There are certain things that do stick. There are certain things that do pique our attention. For example, I never miss the announcement that my wife says, "Honey, supper's ready. Honey, the Eagles are playing." But then there are those phrases that go in one ear and out the other. In other words, we hear them, but they're soon forgotten. Like advice. How many of you love advice on topics you try to avoid? You gotta love the guy that has advice on everything. And then, of course, there's opinions. Have you ever noticed everyone has an opinion, even though you never invited it at all? There you are, sitting at the cafe, talking about this, talking about that, and suddenly this voice interjects from behind. And guess what? They have an opinion. You look across the table at the person you're actually talking to, and you're both wondering, what just happened? But we can call it eavesdropping. But there are conversations that we'll listen into, and then we'll begin rumors. We'll begin gossip. But what Jesus is trying to teach us is that he who has ears, let them hear. The reality that he's teaching us is that not all will hear. And as we heard last week, the seed, aka the word, will land on the path. It will land on rocky soil. It will land among the thorns. Those are the ones who hear the truth, but it goes in one ear and out the other. So friends, there's a serious question we need to ask ourselves this morning. How do we hear God's word?
This is a very personal question. Does God's word go in one ear and out the other? Or do we hear God's word in such a way that we actually obey it? Now, of course, Jesus was a preacher and a teacher unlike any other. His message was about the kingdom of God. We're told that God created a people for himself. Yet we know that all people rebelled. They sinned against him. They refused to surrender their lives to his sovereign kingship. And what that simply means is they didn't obey God's moral law. And they did what was right in their own eyes. Friends, we still see it today. We call it acting on our conscience rather than acting on the word of God. Well, my conscience says this, and your conscience may say that. But friends, God's word always has and always will speak truth. Even still, what amazes me, amidst the confusion, God continues to pour out his mercy. He's determined a way for sinful people to be reconciled to himself. So he sends his son, his one and only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost. Jesus preaches a message unlike any other about the good news of the kingdom of God. He makes it so simple, friends. He presses the easy button. If people repent of their sin, if they turn from it, if they believe that Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for their sin, there's this free gift of God's forgiveness. Simply receive it and be reconciled to God. This message, this good news, takes the country by storm. Thousands of people come to hear Jesus preach, to witness firsthand his miracles, and a growing number of people believe Jesus and become his followers. We fast forward to the end of his Galilean ministry. It's about 16 months after he starts. And Jesus tells the people this parable we find in Mark 4. And what's happening is Jesus is showing people different responses to his message. Some hear the word, and there's no response whatsoever. Others hear it, they respond, perhaps what we'd call superficially, but when struggles come, when testing comes, they fall away. Still, others hear it, they respond, but they go on their way, and the cares, the pleasures of life choke them, and they too fall away. But friends, finally, there are those who hear the word. There are those who respond to it. They hold fast with a good, with an honest heart, and they bear fruit with patience. So what we see today is Jesus continuing to elaborate on the response to his message. It's in the form of yet another parable, known as the parable of the lamp. What's super exciting about this parable is it teaches us how to respond to his message. So here we go. Let's lay out the framework. Jesus' message, first and foremost, must be heard. And secondly, friends, it's quite simple. We obey it and we act upon it. You know, it's no use staying out of the water, infested with sharks, if we're just going to get in the water anyway. I mean, seriously, who does that? Rules are for our own good. You got to remember, God is not out to get us. His word helps us to live abundant lives. But somehow, abundant in God's eyes and abundant in our eyes isn't the same thing. Nonetheless, friends, his message must be heard. Remember, Jesus said in verse 21 of Mark 4, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? No, instead, don't you put it on its stand?" Friends, this is common sense. If you bring in a lamp, you want it to do what? You want it to light the room. You want it to shine as bright as possible. It just doesn't make sense to put it under anything, does it? It's like buying an iPhone, but never turning it on and using it. It's like buying a treadmill and never stepping foot on it. Okay, that one gets a bit personal. But friends, it simply doesn't make sense. The point is to make use of the items, even if it takes time to learn them. You know what? I'll admit the things in life I put the most time into have had the most impact, the most meaning in my life. And that's exactly Jesus' point. A lamp is lit so it can light the room. But what's the lamp got to do with it? Could it be he's referring to his disciples being lights to those around them? In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." That's Matthew 5, 14 to 16. So clearly in Matthew's gospel, the emphasis seems to be on his disciples being what we'd call evangelistic. Or could it be Jesus is referring to the light of his own teaching? Luke said that Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness, verse 79 of chapter 1, and that he was a light for revelation to the Gentiles, chapter 2, verse 32. It does seem that the emphasis is indeed Jesus' own teaching, and in particular, how it's received. Like a lamp in a house, the truth of Jesus' message must be received and put into practice. We could say, in other words, Jesus' message must be heard responsively. To respond means to act upon it. We've heard it said in the courts, in response to blah, 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 the defendant is found guilty and will serve such and such a term in jail. Jesus' point can't be any clearer. The disciples have heard this message. The question now is, what are they going to do with it? And here's the fact. Many people hear the message of God, and it never makes a difference in their lives. So here's the conclusion, and I think you would agree. The message has gone in one ear and out the other. Friends, you're not going to get hit by a Mack truck and not be changed. You see, the gospel has the power to make a difference. So the question for each of us personally, is it making that difference? Friends, if you profess to belong to Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel will transform you. It is impossible to stay the same if the word has truly impacted our lives. We'll be making adjustments. We'll be fine-tuning our living to be in line with what his word says. You ever play sports and you ever have one of those amazing coaches that just puts the time in with you and he changes your skills and you begin to use those skills and you see it on the playing field? Now, I'll confess, I still hit a rather mean slice in golf, but it doesn't mean I don't keep trying. The coach showed me how to hit it straight. And when I do, and it's far and few between, I'll do my happy dance. You see, it's not any different with God. He's not just written us a love letter. He's written us to teach us how to live life abundantly. And you know what, friends? When we get it right, let's rejoice. But when we get it wrong, let's not beat ourselves up over and over again and just simply stop trying. You guys know the saying, practice makes perfect. And I can't think of anything else in the entire world I'd rather practice more than the word of God. Otherwise, we know what? It's in one ear and out the other. The teaching gets more and more difficult. Verse 22, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, And whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Could it be we can't erase the realities of what we've done and we've said? Like Lady Macbeth sought so desperately to do, we cannot blot out the blemishes upon our souls. But here's what we'll try, and we'll try again to hide them, to conceal them from others. Now that may be possible with people, friends, but it's impossible with God. It's like those mustard stains on your shirt, or perhaps it's ketchup for you, or perhaps it's ice cream. Whatever it may be, if you're like me, every time I eat something with a fork or spoon, it ends up on my shirt. And when you walk by someone, they notice it. And you take your shirt home and your poor wife has to figure out how to get that stain out. And friends, only Jesus can do that in our spiritual lives. Only Jesus can forgive sins. What seems so hidden to us is so obvious to God. We were made to share this life together. You may not get along with many people at all, but God reaches out. And you know what God is saying to us this morning? I understand you. I get you. I'm here for you. You cannot go where I am not. And for some of us, that's a rather scary thought. But for others, it is entirely comforting. This thought that God knows all about us, and he continues to be by our side. Friends, that's the Jesus we serve. But how many friends do we know like that? We open our lives, we share our inner being, only to realize there's certain people that just can't handle the truth. But for the blessed, God has given you one or two to be totally honest with. Friends, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it till the day I resign. There's freedom in confession. There's freedom in confession. Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, Jesus said. And whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. But it doesn't stop there. Man, do I wish the verses would stop there. But they go on. And it's somewhat of a warning by Jesus in verses 24 to 25. Jesus said, "Consider carefully what you hear." Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Friends, this could easily be the message of the Bible. And church becomes a very dangerous place. Because here's what I mean. Every time you sit in that pew and you hear the gospel message and you resist it, you let it go in one ear and out the other, you make it easier the next time you hear it to resist it and not to act upon it. And little by little, even what we think we have is taken away from us. How many of you have ever took music lessons? How many of you have taken music lessons like more than 20 years ago and you haven't picked up that instrument since? I found this rather unique looking Bach trumpet in my basement. And you know, after 25 years, I picked up that trumpet and everything I learned was no longer. I would be the one that would disagree it's like riding a bike because I unlearned everything I ever learned trying to play that trumpet. But friends, I love you. And because I love you, these truths can hurt. They can pierce our souls. Because we know the same principle applies spiritually. You come to church, you hear the message of the gospel, but you choose to do nothing with it. You hear it goes in one ear and out the other. We simply haven't heard it responsively. So now, come to church and leave church responding. I can't begin to say how imperative it is to hear and respond and realize the good that it can do. It's like this man who was leaving the city with his son. His son was about to open his car door on a busy highway, and his dad yells to him, "Son, don't open the door, stand still." And at that precise moment, a tractor trailer speeds through a red light and would have clipped the door and his son. You see, obedience could quite possibly save your life. But how often, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we play this little game, oh, I can get away with it. Oh, what's one more time? I can get away with it. Oh, what's one more time? But then you know what happens? That day comes. And that day will come for each of us, where it catches up with us. Some lies get so twisted around, everyone knows you're not telling the truth. But the sooner we realize, friends, we're not fooling anyone, the sooner we realize God knows what he is doing. So we'll put our left and our right ear in, we'll put our left and our right ear out, and we'll ask ourselves that question, how are we hearing God's word? And again, is it in one ear and out the other? Or are you leaving on a Sunday morning and you're responding in obedience? Are you acting upon what you've heard? I can't make it any clearer than this little girl does in this story. It's a Sunday. They're driving home from church. And this little girl turns to her mom and she says, Mommy, there's something about the preacher's message this morning I don't understand. The mother said, oh, what is it, sweetie? Well, the little girl replied, he said God is bigger than we are. He said God is so big, he could hold the whole world in his hand. Is it true? And the mother replied, well, yes, honey, it's true. But Mommy, he also said that God comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Are you telling me that's true too? And again, the mother assured the little girl that what the pastor had said was true. And then she got this very puzzled look on her face. And she looked at her mommy and the little girl asks, if God is bigger than us and if he lives within us, Mommy, wouldn't he show through? Friends, it can't get any better than that. If we believe the message Jesus preaches, if we believe the message of the gospel, there's no way to conceal it. It is going to show through. As the praise team comes forward for our final song, I invite us into a time of reflection. You've just heard what I've said. I know you've just heard what I've said because many of you are looking right at me. But when you leave this place, you're faced with a decision. Is there anything that I've heard that I can apply to my daily lives, to our daily lives this week? And I'm praying that the answer is yes, that you can realize that there is a light. There is a light within each of us that needs to shine. There's a light that's so bright when all of us together are shining, this community can't help but to see that there is a God that is alive. And so as we sing this final song, continue to look into your life and realize, wow, my light hasn't been shining. It has been going in one ear and out the other. And today, I'm not going to let that happen. This week, I'm going to shine my light. If you're able, would you please rise and let's join in singing our final praise song.
You are there.
now that you are here with us. And Lord, you see the hands that are raised. You see the hands that want to make a difference in this world. And I'm asking you now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would dwell within these souls. You would give them all that they need to go into this world and to shine their lights, to make a difference, to let the good news go forth. So we raise our hands, rejoicing, knowing the truth that we desire to share. Let our light shine. In Jesus' name, amen.